Mark Goodman. Hello, friend, and welcome again to a few moments of Bible study together as we look into the wonderful Word of the Eternal God. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that believeth in me shall never hunger, and he that believeth and trusts in me, I'll give life eternal and wonderful water of life, satisfying his thirst. That's what the Lord Jesus does, and it's John chapter 6 where this passage of Scripture comes from, and for some reason I didn't quote it exactly right. But you can look it up there in the 6th chapter of John, where Jesus speaks of himself as the bread of life. And how wonderful it is to do what Peter suggested, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that puts his trust in him. Here in John chapter 6, verse 33 and verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So, beloved, I trust you have come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have believed in him, and you know the joy and the fullness and the richness of belonging to the Almighty God. Oh, what a privilege it is to be a child of God. What a blessing to know the forgiveness of sin and to have the peace of God, to experience the joy of the Lord. Oh, how wonderful it is to know the true and the living God, and what a glorious future is yet in store for us. Well, we're considering and thinking about the Trinity, and the Lord Jesus is a part of the triune Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we've been studying this beautiful truth in John 14 through 17, and we presently are in the 16th chapter of John, and we're beginning with verse 12 in our Bible study today. So I trust that you have a Bible or a New Testament and will join along with us if you're able to. The Lord Jesus had just told us about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In verse 8, he said, when he, the Holy Spirit, is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Beloved, Satan is the prince of this present world. And Satan has been judged. And there's coming a day when the sentence will be carried out, when Satan himself will first of all be cast into the bottomless pit, which will be a place of temporary confinement for Satan. He will be confined there for 1,000 years, which seems like a lot of time for you and me, but actually in the way that God looks at time, 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is as 1,000 years, we're told over in Peter, the book of Peter. And so we see that Satan will be bound just temporarily, and then he will be released for a brief period, because during that 1,000 years that he's bound, there'll be many people that will be born on the earth, and all they will know is the righteous rule of Christ. That's called the millennial reign of Christ, the 1,000-year reign of Christ, when the Lord Jesus is king over the entire earth. and every child of God will help him rule and reign. And during that time there'll be many people in their physical, natural bodies who will have children. And many of those people will grow up, all they will know is the righteous rule of Christ. So Satan will be released just a short time, so they'll have an opportunity to determine whether they want to follow Jesus and believe in Him, or whether they'll follow Satan, and many will be deceived. Satan will collect an army which will come against the city of Jerusalem, but God will rain down fire from heaven, and that army will be consumed and destroyed. Oh, beloved, there's a great future in store for the child of God. We will then move out into eternity, into the new heaven and the new earth. And, beloved, there's so much ahead for we who know Jesus as Savior. Oh, my friend, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're missing out on life eternal. I mean real living. You do not know what real living is about until you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, accept Him as Savior, and are born into the family of God. Oh, yes, as a child of God, there are trials, there are tests, there are difficulties, there are problems, but through it all, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit. The child of God has the Holy Spirit of God in living in us, empowering us, enabling us to walk in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's the greatest thing in the world to be a child of God, to know the eternal God, to recognize that Christ died for our sins, that He was buried, that He arose from the grave, that He lives today, and that He sent the Holy Spirit. He asked the Father to send the Holy Spirit, and He came to convict us of sin. If while you're listening right now, there's a strange sensation in your spirit, an emptiness and a longing to know something that can fill that God-shaped vacuum, beloved, there's only one. And that's Jesus Christ. You're putting your faith and trust in Him, and Christ will send the Holy Spirit into your spirit to do that work of salvation, to make you a child of God, to transform and change your life, and to give you purpose and reason for living. Oh, beloved, so many benefits are wrapped up in Jesus and knowing Him as our Savior. That's why we're studying new birth blessings. And one of those rich blessings is eternal life, and we've already discussed that. And now we're talking about the Trinity. And so here in John 16 and verse 12, the Lord had just finished telling them about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who would come and He would send from the Father once He had gone back to heaven. And beginning with verse 12, He says, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now." Now, what Jesus was saying was that He had so much more He wanted to teach His disciples, but they couldn't take it now. That is, they wouldn't understand it now. They couldn't comprehend it now because they had not matured and grown enough in their walk with the Lord. I mean, they were still young in their faith in Jesus Christ. That's why when the Lord performed the miracle when they were on the Sea of Galilee and a storm came up and it looked like the little boat was going to sink and they cried out to the Lord, "Save us, do you not care that we perish?" Jesus got up and calmed the waves and the disciples were amazed. They were shocked. They said to each other, "Who is this? That He can calm the waves and calm the storm and cause it all to cease." I mean, they had not grown in their knowledge and understanding of Christ to the point that they knew that He was Almighty God in human form. They were still growing. And so this is true of an individual who accepts Jesus Christ as Savior. When we're born into the family of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're babies, spiritual babies. And we have to grow spiritually, just as a physical baby has to grow physically. And as a physical baby grows by eating good food, so a spiritual child of God grows as we walk with the Lord, as we read His Word, as we grow in an understanding of who God is, and as we grow in our knowledge of the Lord, of God the Father, the knowledge of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit teaches and instructs us, as we grow spiritually, and as trials, trouble, difficulty come into our lives, these are things that stretch us. These are things that help us to grow spiritually, so that our life will be more usable of the Lord, and so we will be able to comprehend and understand wonderful truths about Almighty God. And so this was what He was saying to the disciples. You can't bear these things yet that I'd like to share with you because you haven't grown and matured enough in the Lord. But He said, as you grow and mature, you'll be able to comprehend and grasp and learn and understand so much more. And remember, they didn't have the New Testament like we have today. And so the New Testament had not been given to them by the Holy Spirit. It had not inspired, He had not inspired the different writers of the New Testament yet. And so there was so much more to learn that the Spirit of God would reveal and make known to them. So this is what Jesus is referring to in verse 12. Verse 13, howbeit. Now He's going to explain to them, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. And so Jesus was saying, the Holy Spirit is going to teach you things that I am not going to teach you because you're not able to bear them. You're not able to comprehend them. You're not able to understand them now. But the Holy Spirit who comes and will indwell you and infill you, He will lead you into all truth. And that's one of the names of the Holy Spirit, by the way. He's the Spirit of truth. Till next time, goodbye.